7:32, and let's just quickly recap for you. If you didn't hear the news this week, the Supreme Court ruling that Japanese steel giant Nippon Steel and Sumitomo Metal Corporation must compensate South Koreans for their forced labor during World War II. The company name is a merger of a previous entity, so that somewhat complicates the story. But also what complicates the story here is the fact that there are four original plaintiffs who have to be paid 100 million won each, according to the Supreme Court, but only one of them is still alive, 94-year-old South Korean gentleman. And on top of that, you got Japan basically refusing to play ball here, saying that all these issues were settled by a 1965 treaty. Teddy Peck has been looking at the local newspaper reaction. Good morning.
Good morning, Alex.
And, I mean, it's no exaggeration to say that this is going to put a further strain on ties between South Korea and Japan. Tuesday's ruling, it was the final verdict after more than a decade of a very elongated legal struggle, which, as I said before, saw the deaths of three of the plaintiffs during that period.
That's right, yeah. Actually, it went through a rather lengthy process, started in 1997, when two former South Korean laborers filed a compensation suit against the Japanese company with the Osaka District Court. They lost the trial, and Japan's higher court upheld that ruling in 2003.
It didn't end there, though.
Yes. They took the case, along with two other South Korean laborers, to the South Korean justice system by filing similar suit in the Seoul Central District Court in 2005. The district, as well as High Court, rejected the suit, citing the 1965 treaty signed between two countries, which the courts interpreted as a giving up of reparation for individuals in return for a lump sum settlement. But the Supreme Court overturned those rulings in 2012 and ordered the Seoul High Court to retry the case. The Seoul High Court, for the first time, ordered the Japanese steelmaker to compensate 100 million won in damage to each South Korean plaintiffs in 2013. Nippon Steel and Sumitomo Metal appealed shortly afterwards. The Supreme Court's ruling on Tuesday came after 5 years and 2 months after it received the case.
That's a very superficial overview. It's necessarily so because there's just so much to say on the subject. But it gives us a sense of the background as we now look at the local papers, beginning with the Hangyore.
Yes, the paper started by lamenting that it took so long for the final verdict to be delivered, as Hangyore took the view that the delay was somehow related to the recent scandal for South Korea's judiciary, where trials were used as bargaining chips in dealing with the government. The paper said that even the most heartfelt apology to the victims by the manipulators of the trials could never surface.
So the paper welcomes the final ruling then?
Exactly. In detailing the court's ruling that the 1965 treaty does not cover the plaintiff's right to seek compensation for their suffering inflicted by, quote, Japanese forms anti-humanitarian illegal acts related to illegal colonial rule for the Korean Peninsula and war of aggression, unquote, Hangyore said that the final verdict is without any question and also in compliance with the South Korea's constitutional value, in which the colonial Japanese ruling and the forced labor conscription have been regarded as illegal.
So what's the paper saying the government needs to be aware of?
On top of requesting diplomatic efforts by the government for handling the case, the paper emphasized that the complete profile of recent judiciary scandal, where former Supreme Court Chief Justice Yang Seung-tae was suspected of rigging the trials as the mastermind, should be revealed with clarity.
It's very difficult to imagine any paper here criticizing the ruling itself in favor of the victims of, these are just a very small handful of many, many thousands more victims. But it's this question of how to proceed with Japan ties that is problematic. Let's move on to the Seige Ilbo.
Yes, the paper saw the case from the perspective of its implications on South Korea-Japan relations.
And what were its concerns?
The paper pointed out and criticized the Japan's dual attitude dealing with apology and compensation associated with the first labor during World War II. According to Seige Ilbo, in 2015, the Japanese corporation Mitsubishi Materials apologized to Chinese workers who were forced to work in its predecessor company's mines during World War II and compensated each, including 3,765 families of workers who had died, with 100,000 renminbi, which is about 18,700,000 Korean won. Also, the company apologized for using war prisoners from the United States, United Kingdom, Netherlands, and Australia for forced labor during World War II. But the Japanese corporations have been completely dismissing the compensation requests by South Korean laborers conscripted to Japanese workplace.
And what was this paper's recommendation?
Saying that dark clouds are looming over the already soured South Korea-Japan relations, the paper asked the government's every effort not to further worsen the relations. Further deterioration would be undesirable, especially for coordinated efforts sought by South Korea, the United States, and Japan to induce North Korea for denuclearization. The paper also requested a future-oriented posture by Japan as well.
And finally, the Hanguk Ilbo.
Rather than detailing the contents or discussing the appropriateness of the top court's ruling of Tuesday, the paper concentrated on the probable effects of the ruling on South Korea-Japan relations. It pointed out the fact that the top court of each country had rolled out a totally opposite final opinion indicated how troublesome the case would be for resolution.
So what will be the paper's view for handling the issue?
According to the paper, as a result of the final verdict, the South Korean government might change its traditional interpretation of the 1965 treaty, which makes the efforts for diplomatic solution even more critical. In that regard, an establishment of new consultative body between two countries to handle the comfort women issue and now the first labor case together at the same time would be urgently needed, Hanguk Ilbo suggested.
As I suggested as well before, there's plenty more to say on this subject, so we're going to devote our up-close segment after 8:30 this morning to it. For now, Teddy Beck, thank you.
Thank you, Alex.